Bring the meeting to order, please. Annette, can I get a roll call?
Carol Olstead. Tracy Carluccio.
Yes, here.
Tim Doherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
James Manucci.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevicich.
Here.
Michael T. Fang.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Wall.
Here.
Can I get the open public meeting on this?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. Honest Council sent me notice of the time, date, location, and meeting to come to newspapers for circulation throughout the state and post the notice on the Honest Council website.
Let's join in the public meetings, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item up is approval of minutes for June 21st. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Motion?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Stay.
Councilmember Manucci.
Stay.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevicich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fang.
I believe I was at that meeting, so I'm staying on this.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Wall.
Yes.
And Chairman Riley.
Yes. Next item up is the chairman's report, which I have nothing this evening since my last two have been about the item that's on the agenda. Any council members have anything they'd like to bring up at this point in time? Seeing none, we'll move on to the executive director's report. Mr. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of additions to your executive director's report. This one, and we'll continue in the future. On the back of your front page will be a summary of activities, maybe high spots of what occurred during the month, as well as within that, expressing concerns when you adopt the resolution 2012-18 regarding executive director authority. To provide you additional information, you'll have within your packets. You'll have within your packet the description of all of the performance and project reviews that have occurred in the council since the first of the year. So you'll see that on a regular basis, and a variety of them are so designated. A couple of items that I wanted to high spot are planning performance. We have moved forward with a couple of towns. We have no one new in the hopper, but we do have three municipalities that have come to us and said they'd like to reopen advancement of their plan and deferred them for some time. Within our planning and science department now, we have established or reestablished a constituent support team that will be able to answer questions of constituents when they call, and it will rotate on a daily basis between individuals, so that any simple questions can be answered, or complex questions it will certainly consult and get back to the constituent. That also includes the development of 10 support teams that will involve a number of cross-disciplines to address issues as we go forward, such as a redevelopment team, there are 10 of them, plan performance, and resource management, and a number of others that will help us bring the disciplines together that are necessary to discuss and make decisions and recommendations to you on those items. Wastewater management plans, we have 26 grand wastewater management plans done, and we've got 7 more scheduled, so they're moving along quite nicely. Saving towns who are participating with us, it's going to be money between $30,000 and $50,000, and that's been done with the support and high cooperation of JDEP. As Mr. Holtaway's suggestion, and I think this is a great one, we're in next meetings, when we have a presentation, we'll be putting a TV monitor right there so you can watch from the front and finally be able to see what's transpiring as opposed to the gathering around the back. So I think that's a simple solution to a problem we've experienced in the years. Chairman Rowley, that concludes my report. I congratulate you on your work for the MOU and the labor process. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can we back up? I think you have a little committee report.
Sure.
The Bylaws Committee is going to hold its first meeting here in this building a week from tomorrow, next Friday, July 27th at 2:30. The committee members are Council Members Dougherty, James, Francis, and I'll be chairman of the committee. Council bylaws can be found on the Highlands website and in our council members' manual, and the committee will be open to suggestions on bylaws from the public and other council members.
Thank you, Mr.
Bug.
Anything else?
That's it.
Any other reports? Okay. Next item up is consideration of resolution, memorandum of understanding between the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council and the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. Can I get a motion on that, please? We have a motion?
Second.
And a second. Prior to going any further, I'd like to introduce Ray Cantor from DEP. I've had the pleasure of working with him for a couple months now on this project. He's been very cooperative, and I appreciate all your help in getting this to fruition. And,
thank you, and we appreciate working with you. It was a long but hopefully finally ending experience.
Yes. We both smile, great smile, so listen, you can tell what we went through. So we have a motion, a second on that. At this point in time, I'll open it to the public. Would anybody from the public wish to be heard on this item? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is David Chope. I have land in the preservation area. Let me begin with Black's Law Dictionary's definition of exempt. To release, discharge, waive, relieve from liability, to relieve, excuse, or set free from a duty or service imposed upon the general class to which the individual exempted belongs, as to an exemption from military service. To relieve a certain class of property from liability to sale or execution or from taxation or from bankruptcy or attachment. Basically, as meant by the Highlands Act, it was to exempt property owners who fell within a certain criteria, primarily contingent upon when they owned the land, from the provisions of the Highlands Act. It was as simple as that. Then when I read your resolution that you're proposing, you're tying the exemption to the actions of conformance with municipalities. This is a clear overreach. This granting of exemption was between the crafters of the law and the individuals affected. It had nothing to do, nor was it ever contemplated, that it had anything to do with the actions of whatever government this individual happened to be a member of, the subject to. And here, I see it all over the place. You tie issuing exemptions to the conformance of municipalities.
That's not correct. The exemption can be granted by the NJDEP or the Highlands Council. What's been authorized through this the memorandum of understanding is that the municipality may act as opposed to it going to the other two, one of the other two entities. So a municipality does not have to opt in, even if they have opted in with their plan.
Oh, okay. So let me just make sure. When it says where a petition for plan conformance has been approved or approved with conditions by the Highlands Council, that means we're really talking about one municipality here. We're talking about Mansfield Township. So am I correct in assuming that Mansfield Township does not have to opt in, and the residents and landowners of Mansfield Township can get exemptions granted by the Highlands Act without opting in.
No,
is that correct?
That is. I'm not sure where that question's even coming from. So.
Well, it's coming from the fact
where Mansfield Township came into this. I have no idea where that's coming from.
It is a town that has not opted in.
Okay. There's many towns that have not opted in.
I don't think so. Well, let's get.
Roxbury Township has not opted in.
Well, they're the only town that has not opted into the preservation area.
Oh, that's right. So
a violation of the law.
So now, if you own land in Mansfield Township and you want to apply for exemption number whatever, let's just take one because it's the only one that means anything. Where are you as a resident, a property owner, whatever of Mansfield Township, when it says specifically it depends on plan conformance? I think it's a clear.
Then they would have to go to either this entity or the NJDEP.
Where does it say that? That's not how I read this at all.
No, this isn't usurping the ability. Plus, there's also the ability to appeal any decision made locally.
Appeal what? Exemption means exemption. How do you appeal something that should be as crystal clear as the word exempt?
Quite frankly, I don't think that will happen, but for many reasons it needed to be included.
I'll tell you how it will not happen, is if you remove all such notations to towns opting in as a condition of being granted an exemption, which you should be entitled to quite simply by the English language. It should be no more difficult than that. Therefore, I object to this resolution until it is clarified to the point where a landowner, no matter what the actions of his government are, as to where he stands with getting a, quote, exemption. And I have to put it in quotes because I really don't know what it means. So I object to this resolution as written.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to hear?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Julia Summers. I'm the executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I recognize that through no fault of your own, this was available only very recently. But I do have a couple of questions, and I don't know if now is the time to answer them. But number one, I'm wondering, when does training begin, and would the public be able to attend any of these training sessions? Will public records of exemptions granted by municipalities, but I assume it would be kept here, would there be a public record kept at the Highlands Council, and would it be available on your website as all your other documents are? And there is a, in the resolution, and now therefore be it resolved, it says, and furthermore hereby authorizes Chairman and Executive Director to make any necessary minor non-substantive amendments in keeping with this resolution. I'm not an attorney. My husband's an attorney. I've been married to him for a very long time. Those words make me wonder, what does that mean?
Nothing I asked for.
But I think it would be very good to have clarification of what that language means. We do have some comments. We believe that it is sensible for municipalities to be able to issue exemptions, the simple exemptions, but we're not sure that you're ready for prime time yet. We're very concerned about what I will call exemption creep. Because there is no creation of a deed restriction to record the exemption granted, there's no mention of anything like that in the resolution. I can see applications for exemptions year after year after year, same exemption over and over again, where it clearly was not the intention of the Highlands Act to see that happen. If there is an appeal, as is permitted in the resolution or the MOU, if there is an appeal of an exemption granted, and it comes here, you know, it's come here to the council and you review it and you think that it is inappropriately approved, how does that get pulled back? There is no mention of any kind of mechanism for allowing that to happen. Or to be correct.
I'm sorry, what's that last part? How is that to work?
How does that exemption be nullified or withdrawn? by the council. Is it, does it not become effective until after the Highlands Council has received the notification from the municipality and taken action within a certain amount of time? It's not clear.
These are some of the things that we're fine tuning at the end. So I'll turn to council.
You clarified about appeals.
Yeah.
And there is a provision in paragraph. You asked about appeals, and in C4 there is a provision which says that any party can appeal within 20 days of a municipality's recognition of the exemption or exemption determination. And then the council or the DEP would review that on a de novo basis, which means that if there is actually an appeal, and I can tell you as far as DEP's experience, there have not been very many appeals of determinations of single family homes, which is really the one that is people are most concerned about. But if there is an appeal, then either agency as applicable would review it and would make a decision. And from there could be an appeal, I guess, on the agreed party to the appellate division. But that's what the de novo review is. If someone is someone objects, then that would be the way to go.
Okay. If a municipality goes through the training and is granted the authority to approve exemptions, but repeatedly does so inappropriately or incorrectly, does the council have the opportunity to pull back that authority?
Well, I think this is a memorandum of understanding which can be terminated within 60 days. So I think some of the egregious aspects of what you're asking with are probably happening in the preservation area versus the planning area. So I think the EP could certainly reconsider these exemptions.
Okay. I think this is my last question. A town has to write its own ordinance to permit it to do this. Can that town add the ability to request a fee? Because if towns aren't covered the cost of handling this in-house, I can see plenty of towns that will continue to leave it up to you.
I see this as, and I'm not sure exactly how it falls, but municipal land use law, you know, allows the municipality to charge a fee for any application that comes before. So I would assume this would fall under the same thing. Yeah.
So
we'll clarify that.
You would say that. Well, then I think the most important thing I have, apart from records being kept, and it really would be nice to know what necessary minor and non-substantive amendments are, the most important thing is the issue of some kind of record. So a property owner, when there's a change in property, ownership of property, understands whether they can keep going after the same exemption over and over and over again. Because I don't think that was at all anticipated by the Act. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue in the back?
Yes, good afternoon. Monique Purcell, Department of Agriculture. Just wanted to say the department supports this resolution. We feel this is a step in the right direction, as towns that are in conformance with the plan should be able to make these decisions. One of our concerns very early on in the process was Highlands applicability determinations and the landowner going back and forth between the town and the TPD about getting approvals for things that are pretty straightforward in terms of exceptions under legislation. So we're very supportive and feel it's a step in the right direction.
Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. In concept, we support the resolution that's before us today. We echo the comments of the Highlands Coalition about the fees issue. I think that's going to be a critical matter for towns to agree to take on this responsibility. Those of you who are elected officials know how tight budgets are right now. And I think above all costs, what the council wants to avoid is the appearance of creating another unfunded mandate, which is how this might be couched by opposition.
Keep in mind, municipality is not being forced to
Oh, I understand that, and I think that's a very good thing, but I think just from a sales perspective, if you want to take this load off of you and off of the DEP, the towns need to know clearly that they'll be whole when they come out of this.
Great.
And there are any number of ways to handle that, and we can talk about that later. Idea of having training, we strongly support that. ANJEC does this for environmental commissions all the time on various issues, and we would echo again the Highlands Coalition's comments that we would love to have the public be available for those trainings as well. I think it's important, for example, to have landowners in the room when this process is being discussed. The need for seeing the whole package, I think, is real for towns. They would need to see a model ordinance or a sample ordinance, and we would certainly like to see that as well. So the last issue relates to the normal procedure of imposing a conservation restriction when an exemption is granted for any of these coverage areas, for example, 125% of impervious exemption. We've been doing that all along. We need to make sure that towns are accurately recording those easements and that those easements are of the standard that you would require. We can write easements all sorts of ways in New Jersey and still have them be easements. So I think you need to think about that. Altogether, I think this is an important help for people to feel a little more connected to the process and not so remote. The voluntary option...
Stop you right there?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
The voluntary option is good, and we support that. So. Good luck with the process if you pass this thing. And we are here to support and help and prevent what I like to call gear grinding, which happens when changes occur. So that's what I have to say about the MOU today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this?
Ellen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau, and I have to admit, I'm confused too. And I guess Farm Bureau would support anything that simplifies the process of getting exemptions. But if you say on the first page that there's 15 exemptions applicable to a planning area, and if the planning area has not opted in, these people still have exemptions, right?
You're talking about in the... First, hold on one second, just get the resolution.
It's on the bottom of page one. There's 17 that apply to the preservation area and 15 that apply to the planning area. And is it true that this means that the simplified process only applies to people trying to...
All these whereases in the beginning are established based upon the current act and... notices and list some of these actions, and I'll let the Attorney General.
This is the background. The operative clauses are at A, B, and
now,
C.
Therefore,
the whereas clauses, the recital clauses provide background and explanation
from within the act.
Well, I still have the question because, for example, exemption number 7. About the woodland management plan is something that Farm Bureau and the forestry community have had a problem with since the very beginning, because this should be very simple. If a person has a woodland management plan approved by the state forester, which they all have to do to get farmland assessment, it shouldn't be any problem for anybody, DEP, council, or municipality, to give them that, and there shouldn't be a big fee involved with it. But does this mean that if my town, I'm in the planning area, I want to exercise my woodland management plan, which I have to do to keep my farmland assessment, that if my town does not opt in for the planning area, I don't get an exemption?
No, you just wouldn't apply to the municipality. You would continue to apply just as you are today.
To either the DEP
or the
Highlands. Okay, well, I want to clarify that. But we still feel that that particular exemption...
And if I speak out of turn, please chime in.
Okay. So the simplified process applies to the conforming municipalities. Okay. But I just would like to say again that we think this exemption number 7 was a big mistake in the Act, and it is...
I don't want to start going through the Act.
Well, you want to know, Chairman, some of the things problems we have, this is one of the big problems.
I understand.
It should be easy to get no matter where you have to go.
Unfortunately, it's what's in place now, and we're trying to, in my opinion, make that much easier for those property owners.
Okay.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this?
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I support the comments of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition and ANJEC, and I'm particularly concerned that the reporting process of the exemptions be standardized and formalized, and that all of these exemptions that press notice of the exemptions and the exemptions themselves all come to the council so that there's a central repository that one can review. And along with that, I would like to suggest that in the resolution on page 4, point C4, there's a provision that for appeal, and it says that that there would be 20 days from the effective date for it to do an appeal. And even though appeals would not be expected very often, I think that 20 days is too short a period for that to be effective. I think it should be probably 60 days, so that the public would have an opportunity to review the exemptions, and if they wanted to bring an appeal, there would be a statutory length of time that would be appropriate. So that would be my one comment in addition to the comments.
I think if we're talking about larger scope exemptions, I might agree with you, but I think the type of exemptions we're talking about here, and I think that's getting lost in the message here. These are, in my opinion, minor exceptions that we're talking about. In addition, the approved lot, minor issues. So,
well, we hope they can't tell till they actually begin to come in. So,
we'll have to agree to disagree.
Pardon me?
We'll have to agree to disagree on this one.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion and open it up to council members. Any council members? One second. Yes?
Well, I have to say, it's about I truly believe, if you haven't heard me say it already, I'm a great believer in home rule. I'm a great believer in the responsibility and ethics of municipal land use boards. They've worked in New Jersey. They're very responsible. They keep good records. They have public records. Their meetings are always attended by attorneys. They're represented. When it comes to discussing these waivers, I think to make any effort with the Highlands effort creditable to the municipality, there needs to be some empowerment and some training by municipal land use for their responsibilities. These waivers we're talking about here, the 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, are very minor, in my opinion. And the town should be able to address waivers. I would encourage further action on memorandum of understanding in the future as we see that this will work, this can work. And I think it's very important that this council keep that effort ongoing and not just disregard it. And the only appeal I could see is that someone outside of the municipality didn't like what the municipality did. Typically, municipalities know what's better for them than any other agency, including the state. I'm an elected official, so I speak as an elected official. And the constituents will tell you if you're on the mark or off the mark. And so will the law. And so I'm confident that, this effort is an excellent start. I think it gives credibility to what we're doing. And it lets us look at larger, more important pictures as we move forward with the Highland effort.
Thank you.
I just have one issue. First off, I want to echo the, I hope this MOU is just a start. I think the ultimate is that everything that happens in the Highlands goes through the Highlands Council and that we stop pinging people back and forth between Trenton and Chester and everywhere else. My question is, obvious errors, or errors can be made that are obvious to a person standing outside. And I was wondering if our executive director qualifies as an affected party. If he sees, you know, they have to be filed with us, staff, I assume we'll be checking them. And if there's an obvious error, can we, can this be appealed or upheld? Is there a mechanism?
I think we examine this MOU quite extensively. And I think, interestingly enough, the number of times it's been applied, and I take this from press.
Right here.
The number of times this has been employed by DEP or us is really rather de minimis. Taking from the press and their story that they gathered information from NJDEP, that in 2011 there were 36 applications for waivers. So this is not a widespread situation. The other thing I want to note is that if there was ever any misunderstandings about the Highlands, it's people saying, I can't put a pool in, I can't put a deck in, I can't do all these things because of the Highlands. This certainly dispels that, and it makes, I think, the legislation and the Highlands action here more acceptable and understanding. But can we enforce? Yes, these are very simple. We clearly understand what they are. They're quite clear. I don't see any wiggle room for misinterpretation. As far as the woodland management, in the period of 2004-2012, there were two applications that didn't conform to other standards of the Act. So, we had a meeting as recently as this morning to discuss this and discuss implementation. We'd like to present to you at our next meeting in August a plan for implementation, discussing the collaboration with NJDEP, discussing the legal issues, and we'll have I'm ready to roll out for you as soon as we have the opportunity to put together all those pieces. We recognize it as a public trust, and one that I think this council has exercised with due diligence and years of existence.
Yes, but the end result is that one comes up and you look at it and you go, holy crap, this is a mistake. This is wrong.
We will certainly be able to identify that and take the appropriate rejection action.
Yes, Jim. Anybody else?
Or maybe collaborate with DEP on one that is, I can't imagine what being that complex.
Yeah, but the nature, again, the nature of the exemptions are pretty difficult. Mr. Riccio?
Mr. Chairman, I'm in favor of the intent of this MOU. I just want to make sure that the homeowners, future homeowners, the towns, the Highlands Council, and the integrity of the Highlands Act is protected. I just want to continue what Bob was just talking about this is on page three, the bottom of the page, about requiring that the towns within 10 days issue a copy of their exemptions. Now, it goes on in four. It really doesn't say anything about the Highlands Council having any kind of override on these exemptions. If there is an obvious mistake, our director just said, well, you know, we'll do something about it. But I think that needs to be in writing. That needs to be in part four. We need to add that within, and it has to be within a certain amount of time. We just can't assume that you know, somebody is going to look at it and say there's a mistake or it was done wrong. It wasn't followed. The ordinance was not followed. So
that's like a question in every planning board and every aspect that they have to deal with in the MLU. This is no different than any other issue that they have to deal with. Just because it's involved in the Highlands doesn't make it special. A lot of things they do.
I'm talking about the copy that is received by the Highlands Council.
Okay.
The copy of the exemption from the municipality, if there is a mistake or if it's done wrong, it doesn't say in here that the Highlands Council or the director has any jurisdiction in overriding that.
True.
So in other words, town makes a mistake.
Simply say that. But again,
if a town makes a mistake, then they can get away with it.
Municipality currently, there's no other aspect outside of court where a municipality grants something that they have to go get it signed off on by somebody else. We deal with setbacks from DEP. We deal with all kinds of LOIs that DEP has to grant. They deal with all these types of things now. You're saying this is just that much more special? You're dealing with these things now with DEP through all those permits that are required. This is no different. In fact, in some cases, those are probably more important than what we're granting here. Again, look at the list of exemptions. In fact, you want to know something? I'd like to read the list of exemptions.
All right, I'd like to read the list of exemptions, Mr. Frisco.
The construction of a single-family dwelling for owner's own use. The construction of a single-family dwelling with conditions. The construction of any building or structure with conditions. Any improvement to a single-family dwelling. Any improvement for non-residential purposes to a place of worship owned by a nonprofit entity, society, or association organized primarily for religious purposes or a public or private school or hospital, an activity conducted in accordance with the approved woodland management plan, the construction or extension of trails with non-impervious surfaces on public or privately owned lands. Again, these are all single-family units. These are not, and you know these are in the regional master plan.
But if there is a mistake, a copy is sent to the Highlands Council.
Yes, and if they put a four-family condominium in, I think that falls under what Mr. Filo's talking about. But to start micromanaging everything...
It's not micromanaging. It's just not in here anywhere that we have the ability to change a mistake. All right, I'm going to go on to something else. Again, I'm telling you, I'm not against the MOU. I just want to make sure that we have the proper language, and this the intent is going to be to protect not only the homeowners, but also the Highlands Act. If you look on page 2, in the middle of page 2, where it says the sections, whereas sections 14 and 15 of the Highlands Act and so on, I'll let you read that. And it goes on to quote about the goals and requirements and provisions of the RMP. Now, if we are going along with Section 14, in Section 14 of the Highlands Act, it says, under C, the council may revoke a conformance approval granted pursuant to this section or Section 15 of this Act after conducting a hearing if the council finds that the local government unit has taken action inconsistent with the regional master plan. So to me, that's what I was just talking about, that it's actually in the Act that says we can override any problem. Now, is that going to be superseded by this ordinance, this resolution that we would be passing for the MOU?
I did not see any now, therefore, that would relinquish that verbiage.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
In the Highlands Act...
Is your question, does the resolution override the regional master plan?
Yes.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's...
Mr. Chairman, I was just speaking with the Hood Council, and we were discussing that putting, as part of the training process, we could put in there that if we found a exemption to be inappropriately applied, we would simply return it to the township indicating that it was misapplied and they should take remedial action. Correct.
Mr. Chair, do you have some other points?
Yes, that would be acceptable. Let me just give an example of a situation. I have a piece of property, 7 acres in a preservation zone, and I apply for an exemption, and I receive the exemption so that I can build a home, and I adhere to the rule that I can only have 1 acre, I can disturb 1 acre and have a quarter of an acre impervious surface, and I, you know, I build the home and everything is fine. 2 years later, I sell it to my friend here, Richard, and he's going to buy the property from me. He wouldn't buy a used car from me. He's going to buy my house, right? And he decides that he's going to, maybe knock down some trees and maybe in a field put some more parking, build a tennis court, put in a swimming pool, which is in the preservation zone would not be permitted. How is the homeowner who sold the house, how is the town, how is the Highlands Council protected if somebody brings this up, if a neighbor says, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that?
It's not a Highlands Council.
I'll ask the attorney.
It's the NJDEP, it's the preservation area.
The hypothetical that you gave, and DEP has just looked at this during the course of issuing exemptions, but the hypothetical that you gave implied or suggested that the existing lot was already there as of
2004,
and you built it for your own purposes, for yourself or your immediate family, I think is what
right.
The statute refers to. If you, and I think this is what Chairman said before, which is the statute does not preclude someone from using an existing lot for their own purpose, and that could include building the tennis court and a swimming pool. As long as it's for their use, there is no limit on that exemption number one disturbance.
Wait, even if somebody else buys the property?
Well, then you're buying it, someone has done something.
That was my question. It's not me. The new owner bought it.
It's for his own use.
You
sold it to somebody else.
Yes. But can he then...
The limitation on the quarter acre and acre disturbance applies to exemption number two, which is a builder who puts it up, and then there's a limitation on it, and that's where I think Ms. Summers was talking about not the conservation restriction, because I don't think you could impose that, but a notice of exemption saying, this is the area which is exempt on the lot, this is the area of disturbance. If you want to do anything more, you need to apply to DEP for Major Highlands approval. It's not a restriction, because you're still exempt, but that's the limit of the exemption. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No. That's not the point. I mean, it's the next owner.
Doesn't matter if it's the next owner or 3 owners later. He's still the property owner and its personal use.
Right.
But there's restrictions as to how much you can change land as far as the impervious cover in the preservation.
You're exempt, as Mr. Schultz said. You don't really need the exemption determination. The department and the council and the towns offer the exemption determinations because the next owner wants to know, because the bank or the title company want to know. But if you're exempt, you're exempt. You're self-executing under the statute.
I was exempt to build on 1 acre with a quarter of an acre.
That's
per
a number.
Acre.
That
okay.
Would be an
exemption. And I did
number.
That.
Okay.
The next owner comes in and he wants to increase that.
Assuming, I think you're talking about exemption number two. And what we have advised DEP and what we would recommend to the towns is to ask that when that exemption is recognized, there be a notice recorded which says that acre or quarter acre of disturbance, that's the sum total of the exemption. And anything more than that, you would need an approval for. And the subsequent owner is then on notice, and it's in the chain of title, and someone knows that if they want to do anything more than that, they're going to need an approval. They may not get that approval.
So it would be deed restricted.
Well, it's not a restriction, it's a notice. Excuse my differentiation, but the notice is not saying you can't do it, it's just saying this is the limit of the exemption. If you want more, you have to get an approval.
And that notice would be included in the sale of the home?
Well, it would be in the chain of title, so if you go and you do your, when you buy the house or your contract, it'll show up there just like the mortgage and the deed.
In my many discussions with over these exemptions over the years, the first exemption allows the individual that owns the property at the date to build a home for the family or the relationships. That then becomes a normal home. It would be sold, you know, suppose they die, you know, the house moves on as a home without any restrictions. If that property were sold, if the owner sells that property, the new buyer is a knowing buyer and does get the restrictions of the 1 acre and the quarter of acre of impervious surfaces. But the key point is there is when it's sold, as long as the property isn't sold and a home is built, once the home is built, it goes into the realm of a normal home. That's the way I interpret that, and that's what the discussion with people would be, is people who have actually built one. And eventually sold under that exemption.
I'll just say,
but I know there's no restrictions on those homes.
Just wanted to protect the next owner to know what the restrictions are.
That's the notice of the exemption, which my recommendation would be to have the property owner report so that it protects the owner when they go and sell, because then they can say to their prospective buyer, this is the limit of the exemption. I haven't done anything wrong. It's like when you go and sell your house and you've done work on it and you have your building permits and you haven't done something under the table and you've got your building permits, everything's been done, you know, and approved.
So the town should be told to inform the homeowners that get the exemption to do that.
That would be my recommendation.
Anybody else?
Yes, just a couple of things. I wanted to get back to having these reports of exemption determinations by the conforming municipality to come back to the Highlands Council. I'd like to suggest that this be amended to require that a report be made, just like our executive director does a report for each meeting, that informs the council what exemption determinations have been made that month, and that we require that it not be effective until after the council review that. And it's not to try to slow things down, but it's simply... No, there's still a point because the system is still streamlined, and I do support informing municipalities to be able to make these simple exemption determinations. But what I'm concerned about...
As long as you have the ability to say you're wrong.
As long as the council has the ability to look at what's going on and stay on top of it. And I think what was brought up by Julia Summers of exemption creep is something we have to be careful about. Maybe we'll find out that this is not a big deal. And we've heard from council that, you know, at DEP, you know, over the years, this has not been a problem. However, this is new for us. The council is really just has been in the implementation phase of the RMP. These towns are just coming into conformance. This delegation of responsibility to municipalities was not something that we had perfected as we developed the RMP, although we said specifically in the RMP that we would consider this, but we did not work on it. So I think in the initial phases of the implementation of this very important delegation, because in total it is important, each one may seem de minimis, but in total it could have important impacts, that this program to start out comes through the council, just so we can get a feel for what's going on. We'll see how many of these come through. We'll be able to see, you know, whether or not we do feel that it's so unimportant and being so well handled at the municipal level that we don't really need to have this as part of the regular executive director report.
On that point, I have a question. I think this is my sixth meeting, but has anybody here ever seen the exemptions applied for by the DEP? I'd be more interested in seeing a list of the exemptions that were denied, but has anybody here ever seen that? I've been given a book. It's a ledger book. It's about this thick that somebody receives through open public records. There's been quite a few exemptions approved. I have never seen the ones that have been denied, but if we haven't seen them from the DEP, I don't see any reason to say that.
Any other comments?
Yes, I have more. So I really want to argue that we amend this and that we add a requirement that a monthly report be made and that we have the opportunity to review these exceptions each month or each meeting before they are approved and implemented at the local level. Also, I want to bring up a couple of other things about these arguments that were made that there's no way that this is not cut and dry, these exemptions, with conditions. Any of us that have worked on approvals at the municipal level know that with conditions can have a lot of holes in it. And it depends on what those conditions are, when you implement those conditions. We've had lots of problems at municipal level where conditions are not enforced in a timely way and then it becomes too late to make it effective. So I think with conditions leaves open a door that has a lot of interpretation that we should have a chance to look at. Also, what exactly is an improvement? That's another one. Trails is another one. Trails seem great, but my organization has been involved criticizing trail plans because trails can be too aggressive. And we need to just not accept on the face of it that all of these things are benign. We need, at this initial phase where we're delegating a very important responsibility that could have impacts on Highlands resources in total, we need to keep our hand in it for a while. And I think being cautious and careful to start out here and having us have at least the opportunity to find out for ourselves, since we've never seen this big book of exemptions that DEP says is not significant, I think is very important. So I want to argue that we not give this away at this time. I have some other comments, but I'll go on if you want.
I'd like to point out, too, that the agreement as written, which was hammered out over several months, has already been signed as is written by Commissioner Martin.
Well, that's all well and good, but is that some sort of pressure that now we have to sign because Commissioner Martin has signed?
I'm just making a fact.
Well, what's the point?
Any other comments from any other members?
I have other comments. I'm not finished yet.
I thought you were. Okay.
No.
Continue.
Yes, thank you. I think it's important for us to understand here what does plan conformance mean. And there's one particular provision in here, one whereas beginning on page 2 and going on to page 3 that I'm concerned about. And and the whereas, of course, is reciting, you know, what the Act says, what the RMP says. And it's made very clear under the one that begins, the Highlands Council and DEP collaboratively examine the 17 Highlands exemptions, and then goes on to say that municipalities where a petition for plan conformance has been approved or approved with conditions regarding a preservation area, planning area, or both, and where such conforming municipalities by ordinance establish appropriate procedures and requirements governing the review and issuance of such determinations. My concern is, what does it mean to be a conforming municipality? Now, we're sitting here and in good faith approving applications for conformance from municipalities, and they're working very hard with the Highlands Council staff to carry out the conditions that we attach to those approvals. And one of the conditions is the adoption of a land use ordinance, and it is the meat of the RMP. It's the meat of what municipalities do in order to actually implement the RMP. It's where the rubber meets the road. I think it's essential that that condition, and perhaps other conditions as well, but particularly that condition, be accomplished before a town would be considered to fall into the category of being enough in plan conformance that they can be delegated this responsibility under the MOU.
Any other comments?
Yes, I do have some other comments. Thank you. I think it's really important about this recording issue that has been brought up here. Carl brought it up, and we heard about it from the public. And I think, you know, where we got kind of bogged down in discussing this is not so much whether it's a deed restriction or a notice, but there's nowhere in the MOU that says there is, and perhaps I missed it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that it is required that a notice of exemption be publicly noticed where any member of the public can find it, and that we keep that list here available to public review. Of course, we have a great website. We have the ability to put those up on the websites of the public. Any member of the public, any time of the day or night can check it. So I think the importance here is not so much whether it's called a deed restriction or a notice. It's the fact that there is a record kept of this. So everybody knows what the conditions were of that property that allowed them to be eligible for this exemption, and then what restrictions down the road apply. So I'm asking our council here, is there a place already in here that makes it very clear that this notice is required?
It's not required in the MOU or referenced in the resolution, because if one is exempt, then one is not obligated to come to the council or to the town or to the DEP to get that exemption. The issuance of that exemption determination is merely a recognition that this proposed project or improvement, the house addition or the swimming pool, is exempt. But I think it's Mr. Shokin initially read, you know, from Blackstone's, but the point I think he made was, if it's exempt, the property owner need not go to the government, to the state or to the town, to secure that recognition of the exemption. As a practical matter, it's important because your bank wants to know, your mortgage lender wants to know, the title company wants to know, the next purchaser wants to know, but it's not an obligatory requirement. I don't know if that addressed your point.
But I think my question is, there are certain conditions that allow a property to merit an exemption. And so when those may change, the exemption may not be valid. So people need to know, why were they eligible and why were they found exempt?
Do you have any other comments, Ms. Carter?
So I'm asking, and I thought you said that there was a notice of exemption that would be made.
That's,
and I'm asking, where is that notice? Is it in the MOU or?
It's not in the MOU. That's for the council and the towns to decide on what's the most prudent way to address the issuance, the recognition of exemptions.
So where would we do that in regards to this activity?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Well, the towns could adopt that as part of a model ordinance if the council thinks that that would be appropriate and helpful.
So that's a very good suggestion. As a matter of fact, under C, I was going to suggest in the development of the model ordinance that we, this is the kind of issue that could be put there. If we could perhaps say under C, model ordinance to be prepared by the council to include provisions such as a notice of exemption, then I think that would be complete enough to make it clear that we're thinking about this. It's something important that needs to be part of a model ordinance. I agree that would be a good place for it to go.
Any other comments, Mr. Rosen?
Yeah, I first of all, before I tell this, my father's an attorney, so that being on the record, I will say that I would qualify this the same way as the joke says, what are 1,000 dead lawyers? The answer is a good start. This is a good start. And now that I've insulted the attorney, I hope that what you just said, I'm sure you have it. What you just said into the record, I hope is placing on the headlines every paper across the Highlands region that the exemption is presumed, that there is no obligation for homeowners to go and seek an exemption, because that is at the heart of what an exemption is. As Mr. Shook read, the presumption should be that you are exempt, and it should be incumbent upon the zoning officer, a DEP official, or if the Highlands cops should be ever decide to go that route, God forbid, to determine that someone is not exempt when they take an action on their property. I would vehemently oppose any requirement that we maintain a record database, that we have records sent to us, that we have a recording function here. Anything that we do that make this more cumbersome, more onerous on municipalities is simply nothing more than a roadblock in municipalities this authority. Two more points. First, to the DEP, as they're represented here today, to our chairman, this is remarkable. It is very rare that public government agencies yield power to someone else. So for that, you should both be applauded for doing so. It is probably unheard of in the DEP, and I expect that it hopefully will become the new norm for your Highlands Council. So congratulations both on that achievement of being able to put together an MOU and yielding power away from a government entity onto others. The other thing that I heard today that really alarms me is this hubris that somehow only a certain group of people in the world are smart enough to look out for the good and welfare of our environmental needs, and that municipalities, mayors, and councilmen lack the wherewithal to determine whether or not these exemptions are reasonable. That is such utter nonsense. The counties and municipalities and the 88 communities and the several counties in the Highlands region did a fantastic job for many years before this act came along, and the notion that they need to be babysat or parented from just or friend, frankly, is offensive. The towns were doing quite fine, thank you, before this act came along, and the notion that they cannot determine these set and simple exemptions is wrong. So again, I'll be voting yes. I hope that I'll be voting yes to a further expansion of this delegation of authority in the future. But as I said, it is a good first start.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I'm not one for getting wrapped around the axle, and I believe some of the comments made by some of the council members are starting to get wrapped around the axle. I'm a firm believer in home rule, as Mr. Mike just pointed out a little while ago. There are professional engineers in every municipality, zoning boards, planning boards, boards of adjustment. They are all astute gentlemen and women. No question about it. So to get wrapped around the axle, if you will, and go back to the Highlands Council, put in a summary, go back to the municipality, come back here, and that's getting wrapped around the axle. But I'm not one for getting wrapped around the axle. I'm going to vote yes.
Any other comments?
Just a question. Who can appeal? There's an appeals process, so pardon my ignorance, but who would be the person that appeals?
I would assume in most cases it would be an aggrieved property owner. But
affected party.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a process.
Any other comments?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I just want to say I agree and disagree with my fellow councilman, Walton. I agree that this is a good start, and disagree that everything was done fine in years past. That's why we have a regional master plan, because rivers, aquifers, reservoirs, lakes, so far don't begin and end at the boundaries of towns. And we do need a regional master plan to preserve our water resources. I am going to make a motion to amend this for one simple fact, is to add to, on top of page 3, where we petition for plan performance has been approved and so on and so forth, that the towns must first pass the land use ordinance before they can give the exemptions. And the reason is that is a very, very important part of the town's petition for performance. This protects the steep slopes, the wetlands, and so on. And I think that's necessary before towns should be able to have the ability to give the exemption. So I'm going to make that amendment.
That was in the form of a motion?
Yes.
Second?
I'll second that. I think it needs to be under the now therefore, though, right?
Okay, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it would be another letter added to say that land use ordinance should be adopted prior to determining that a municipality.
I'm not going to get into a bunch of comments on this from each council member. I couldn't oppose this more at this point in time. I think this is a document that has been signed off on by the DEP. I appreciate Mr. Walton's opinion. This is one of the few times that we're wrestling authority away from bigger government, putting it back where it belongs. And I don't want this to be the trickle effect of change it now, slow it down, send it back, comes back to us, we want to add something else. This is a document that I think is prepared to move forward, and if it needs to be amended further down the line, again, it's a memorandum of agreement. This isn't legislation from the legislature, signed by the governor. This can be changed, altered, tweaked with council approval moving forward. I think we have a signed document on the table, and I don't see any reason to change it right now. And on that, I'll take a roll call on her motion.
Councilman Carluccio, this is on
what?
The amendment.
This is on the amendment.
Amendment. Okay.
This is the amendment that Mr. Richko proposes that I absolutely oppose. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
No.
Councilmember Holtaway.
No.
Councilmember James.
No.
Councilmember Manducci.
No.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatage.
No.
Councilmember Tiefang.
No.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Bowden.
No.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Riley.
No, and I'd like to call the roll call on the original motion for approval of the MOU.
Councilmember Carluccio.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Okay.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Manducci.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
No.
Councilmember Savatage.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember
Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember
Wall.
Yes.
Chairman
Rowe. Yes. Next item up. Consideration of resolution approval to extend the fiscal year budget 2012 at the same average monthly spending level. Can I get a motion, please?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
The motion is second. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close. I'm sorry. You got to get in the tuner.
Julia Salas, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Could you please tell us what this means and what it's about?
As treasurer, we're into 2013.
Right.
And we don't have a 2013 budget, so this is
90
same.
Days.
This is the same as the temporary budget in the municipality, where we have to start in January, we don't adopt our budget until May or June. So what we're doing is continuing the monthly payments just so we can do business and I can sign checks.
Well, thank goodness it's not the national debt limit, but yes.
Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, any council comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Manducci.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Savatage.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. Brings us to our next item, which is public comments. A reminder that there is a limitation to 3 minutes. Please respect your fellow members of the audience, and stay within your 3 minute time frame. At this point in time, I'll open it to the public. Please raise your hand if you have any. Yes, sir. Told you not to bring so many papers.
I know. Well, you guys keep taking them.
Dave Pfeiffer from the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I have two issues I want to place in front of you for your consideration today. A minute and a half each. We'll try. First of all is the activities that are taking place or not taking place at the Fenimore landfill in Roxbury.
If there's going to be discussion on that, I need to step down. So I'll ask. I live in Roxbury.
Yes, I understand.
All you.
Gee, thanks. Yes, Mr. Pfeiffer.
We have, at previous meetings here, designated the former Fenimore landfill as a economic redevelopment area, Highlands redevelopment area. The goal of that process was ultimately to create a solar, large solar installation to produce clean energy, a goal which we certainly continue to support. However, since that time, DEP has sought to revoke the consent order that was issued to allow the cleanup of the facility because of non-performance by the applicant. There have been additional pollutants discovered on the site. Methane gas has been detected in monitoring wells. Interestingly, asbestos has been detected in the fill that is being brought to the site to cap it today. There has also been a constant traffic issue with heavy trucks moving fill to the site, and at least one traffic accident that was fairly serious. What we're looking at right now is, I believe, a failed process. The existence of the designation as a redevelopment area, I think, is aiding and abetting a pollution problem in the Highlands. And I would urge the council to seriously reconsider that designation and withdraw it until at least the DEP process seeking to revoke the consent order has been resolved. We obviously want the landfill cleaned up, but I don't think that from a public relations standpoint, the council should be viewed as aiding and abetting pollution in the Highlands Preservation Area. So I would place before you my plea that you would reconsider that designation, hold it in abeyance, or withdraw it, whatever you need to do, to send a clear message of support to the DEP on this and to the township, which is also supporting DEP's action. I think that's what we need to say today about federal. The second issue is an issue that relates to one of our premier environmental sites in the Highlands, the Split Rock Reservoir. We have received a public notice of an HPAA application being made by New Jersey Department of Fish, Game, and Wildlife to build a boat launching ramp at that reservoir. The interesting thing about this is that we don't know who or what inside the council staff is dealing with that HPAA. So we would like some clarification on who in the staff is dealing with that. The next issue I think is very interesting. Earlier this week we had a public information meeting at which the contract engineer for the division presented the site plan for the ramp to the Rockaway Township Planning Board. No one from the DEP was present, so many of the members of the public that wanted to ask questions about all sorts of policy issues and long-term operational concerns at that facility got no answer. What he specified, though, in his testimony was that his contract is split 60%, 40%, 60% going to the design for the ramp, 40% for the construction of a second new parking lot, which is on a different lot and block than the HPAA application. When I asked him, "So you're segmenting the project?" his answer was yes. So I also then asked him, would the inclusion of the second parking lot exceed the 125% impervious cover limit that might be used through an exemption? And he said yes. I asked him, would it exceed the quarter acre
new impervious surface? He said yes. Would it exceed the 1 acre total disturbance limit? He said yes. So what we have before the council for review and for consistency is an HPAA that does not disclose the entire extent of that project. I think that the staff needs to be very careful about that in its review and should insist that they see the entire project. There are two other projects in the immediate vicinity that could have a bearing on this project and also on the well-being of the Split Rock natural and cultural resources, which are substantial. One is the potential reconstruction of the Susquehanna-Roseland power line, which directly abuts the site. The other one is the reconstruction of the Split Rock Dam, which is about 600 feet to the west of the site. We believe that any review conducted under the Highlands consistency review process ought to look at all three of those projects simultaneously. It's just not the right thing to do to expect somebody driving a dump truck to make a decision on the fly.
Thank you, Mr. Piper. I did not catch the original aspect, but I'm sure you guys have heard that.
In sum, we just want to bring this to the attention of the council and urge very careful review of that HPAA, and we would like to know who on the staff is assigned to it.
Well, it's important that it's a coordinated review with the
Thank you. New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I recognize through no fault of your own, you were not able to get the agenda out for this meeting until 2 days ago. And I really urge the council staff, and I'm sure that they would support this, that this not happen again.
I'll stick up for the staff. There was probably going to be no agenda if we didn't get the MOU signed off. And what we thought would happen 2 months ago played out until literally the day it was released was the day we got it signed. I think that was
Tuesday.
So that I apologize in a full blame, but there would not have been it. We would not have probably had a meeting.
I know this is not something you want to happen, hopefully never again, but this was difficult for everybody. My other question is, we have not seen any towns coming forward with conformance. I recognize we have new leadership here, and that is perhaps somewhat understandable, although your director of planning and science has been here longer than just about everybody. But we also recognize from your own records that you have quite a number of towns still in the process for getting their petition approved, including Clinton Township, Bartles Borough, Greenwich Township, Capacom Borough, Independence Township, Jefferson Township, Liberty Township, Oakland Borough, Sydney Troy Hills, Randolph Township, Roxbury Township, Stanhope Borough, and Union Township. And we're just wondering where they are in the process, and if you expect any of them to meet that great milestone where we have the photographs taken and everybody cheers and says lovely things about the staff. That's going to happen anytime soon. We're going to see any catching reports.
In just that one category, you're looking at all the categories that we've delineated in our monthly report. This report, we start with last one, gives you the status of every technology in the Highlands. Extent that they are or are not conforming to the necessary. Part of my report actually indicates that there are 42 that have shown and that are approved of 60. 42 comes to 70% of the total petitions and it covered almost 402,000 acres. That's 60 petitions, 97% conformance in the preservation area. I think the issue that we talked about earlier was we had three come back to us who were in a deferred status and they're really questioning whether they should conform or not, and they are now in active discussion with us. We have every reason to believe that they will be back on track. I think
some of the municipalities that are in the planning area, we will continue to talk to them. We will continue to point out benefits. Barbara and I were talking today about the advantages of conformance, but they may not. Because of the nature of the community, there may not be an advantage for them to conform, although there is obviously some economic value and our assistance in areas other than simply conformance, as far as economic assistance and wastewater management and all the things we can do. But I think that the number that that have adopted a conformance plan is maturing.
I'm just looking at these towns that we haven't heard from yet that are in your pipeline and just wondering when they might come before the council.
Which ones are you referring to?
She read off mostly the ones that are haven't come before us yet. So.
Yes, exactly.
I think your point is really, has there been a slowdown, and there really hasn't been. We've had some staff turnover, but for the most part, things are still moving forward.
I recognize that. There are two really, really key ordinances for you to particularly keep track of for the communities that have met that point. And one is the checklist ordinance, and the other is the land use ordinance. And seeing that those communities that have made it through conformance, which of course really is only just the beginning of conformance, see them make those next landmarks is also extremely important and really to be encouraged. And it would be great, I think, to have updates for the council on what's going on.
We are working with them weekly. I don't think a week goes by that we don't meet with one of them, maybe two, maybe three, on land use ordinance. That is really, as you say, that is the threshold issue, and is one that is very complex, and they have a lot of questions they need to ask before they simply adopt it. So they're coming back to us now saying, well, what does this mean, and what does that mean? In fact, one of the questions one of our towns had was on exemptions, and it was resolved to the full extent tonight by having the MOU. But that was a question they had. They asked about almost all the questions or all the waivers that are provided, and I think we got them now on the right track toward ordinance adoption. That's the biggest issue once you get through conformance, and we're working on them, and they are incremental, and they are two or three a week, piece by piece.
Well, the checklist ordinance is the interim set, so that is equally important. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir. We're back.
Jerry Heron, Poetcon. I just want to first thank the council for any efforts made to simplify the regulations for landowners. Talk about the exemptions, anything like that certainly helps. Still haven't heard anything on compensation yet. It's always talked about, but I never hear it when I come here. That would be helpful. And the compliment only went to the yeses, thank you. Could I get a copy of the checklist that we were just discussing? For the towns that opt into the plan area, I hear there's my engineer at the town said there's a checklist that someone going for a permit or something would be required to.
Does he not have it?
He may have it, but I'm asking if I can see it here.
Yeah,
I'm here today.
I don't know, I can see it this evening.
Okay.
I don't
see it here
until
today. Okay. I'll leave my name and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Nope. I don't understand why it takes a training session and anything other than a building inspector or a zoning board to look at the deed, which says yes, you owned the property before the magic date, May in 2004, or you didn't, which would entitle you to the exemptions. It's really astounding how the simplest matter gets twisted beyond recognition by the state's government. And what you're doing, of course, is you're making a whole lot of people considering heading for the exit. There's not a whole bunch that have already done so, and I would not be shocked if a whole bunch more follow shortly. Well, while you're all up here saving water and doing all these wonderful good things, on New Jersey Network News last night was a story about United Water. United Water is leaking 25% of its processed water, its finished water. It is leaking 25%. The state average, according to the DEP, is 15% of, again, finished water. They don't even count what leaks from the raw water pipes. If they counted that, I'm sure it would add significantly to the water simply lost to leaks. And here we have to have our equity stolen so that other people can squander it. This is really obscene. There's no other way to put it. And I'm going to leave you a letter addressed to you, Mr. Riley, with a series of questions that I would like answered to me personally, and also make the answers available to the public. It has to do with nitrate solution. Thank you.
You just want me to study something, don't you?
Okay, pardon?
You just want me to study something, don't you?
Well, I had to address it to somebody, so
no,
it's you.
Thanks. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion. We have no executive session. Can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
No.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
That's okay. That's okay.